on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, does it job Dean Cox again? This time he's in! At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan to Hue. Capable of anything. To Hue! Equaliser for Leighton Orient!
We're not a city, we're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're Leighton Orient from E10. Leighton Orient from E10.
Well, good evening, everybody. I hope you had a great Christmas and Boxing Day. We're here on the 27th. What a day it's been with the weather, but never mind. Hopefully we can brighten up the evening a little bit. 3 points yesterday put a few smiles on some faces here, and I've got some grinning faces looking at me here. I mean, I've got Darren Burrows to my right as I look. How are you, Darren?
I'm all well, Andy. Are you?
Yeah, good, mate. And you, I mean, you're not known for Mr. Smiley, are you?
But
you
thanks, Andy. Cheers.
No, yeah, really not.
Coming from you.
Oh, well, listen.
That's why we get on, Andy, because we're both as people as each other.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a time for being happy. And, you were happy with yesterday's result, weren't you?
You've got to be happy with that, Andy, haven't you? Great performance, yeah.
I mean, we've won
great result.
The East South London Derby, and
we've got bragging rights.
We've got bragging rights, and Barry Galvin was on the pitch announcing things, and had a chance to play Rocking All Over the World.
Yeah, I've forgotten where it was on my playlist. I had to search it out. It's been that long. But
yeah, on 78, didn't you?
It was great to do that. Always look forward to that. And when it ticks over at 90, we'll get status quo ready. There have been times where you've got it ready and you don't need to play it after 90 minutes, as you said. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a great, happy day, wasn't it? Happy day.
Edwin Hawkins Singers. There we are, the DJ coming out of me there. And Christian Wheeler, great to see you back in the studio, sir. And smiling, and he's not known to be a smiler either. We've got three miserable sods here really tonight, but Christian's smiling as well. And an enjoyable afternoon yesterday, Chris.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. It's good to get a win. I've been banned from Boxing Day football since I stopped playing football. My wife, we had kids and she's not going anymore. And yesterday was the first game I think I've been to since I stopped playing on Boxing Day. And yeah, it was a good win. I think they annoyed me a little bit, Charlton. They just think that they're a bit bigger and better than us. They spent the whole day, I think the big centre-half just spent the whole day complaining, same as the skipper. But yeah, very good second-half performance, I thought.
So, I mean, we will hear from Richie shortly before we dissect the match, but very much a case of holding your own in the first half and then upping it a gear in the second.
Yeah, I think we all said, as we just said before, I think first goal yesterday was always going to be key. And I think apart from the first 5 or 10 minutes where they looked like they could put us to the sword, as I say, yeah, we hung in there, and I think we was really, really good second half. I think Danagi coming off the bench as well was great to see, just when we needed him. Game had opened up a little bit, stretched a little bit, and yeah, I think we played very well. I think we defended, a bit worried about their threat from May, and I think we defended really well yesterday.
Good stuff. Well, let us hear from Richie, and then we're going to hear from Glenn Wilkie too, and then we'll come back to you guys here and have a look at that match. And we'll also go back as well to the Bolton affair as well. But let's just hear what Richie has to say about the Charlton match.
Richie, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. Your side really deserved that victory.
I think in the end, I think they've started the game really well. They've got some clever players at the top end of the pitch. And they started probably the first 10 minutes. I think the first half was a little bit tentative, a little bit nervy from both teams. Not much quality apart from when both teams got in the final third. But our energy in pressing today was really, really good. And in the second half, in terms of efficiency, in terms of territory domination, then we was the better team. So they're always a threat on the counter-attack because they have likes of May and Blackett Taylor. And then good midfield players like Fraser that can find a pass. So you're always worried our quality, but I thought the energy from our front four today was excellent. Our press was fantastic. So I think in the end we probably deserved it.
A huge performance in both boxes from Omo Beckles.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to defend. You know, when Blackett Taylor gets one-on-one out wide, he's going to shift it to his left and he gets bodies in the box. You always have the opposite winger, the opposite eight and a centre-forward in the box, so they're difficult to defend against. So I think they're a really good team playing going forward. We wanted to try and negate it as high up as possible, and I thought in terms of execution for the players, it was very good.
The goal was taken early and it was a fantastic assist from Danny Joy.
Yeah, we've had loads of balls in the box this year, loads, and we tend to be stood in there. So the first ball comes in, we're trying to get on the end of it, we then clear it, we get a second ball, but then everybody vacates the box. And then it goes out to Dan Adia, and it's defender's nature just to open up and look at the ball. And when you're not in there too early and you don't attract attention, then you can start to run off the back of people. So it's just rolled past Sully's foot, and then Beckles is there to put it home. But I thought, in terms of defending our box, it was good, and obviously Omar and Dan was a big part of that.
He could be a big player in 2024, can he, Dan Adia? Just how fit is he now?
No, he's getting there, but you've seen the way that we wanted to play today. So then it's, what do we do? Do we start him and give him 60 minutes where he's always... And I know when you come back from fitness, you always think, I'm starting the game, I'm going to pace myself. And we didn't want that. We wanted the starter to be at maximum for 60, 70 minutes, whatever it might be, until visually he starts to tire. So we decided that, you know what? All the top teams in this league have got brilliant subs to bring on. And we've not quite had that because of obviously his injury. I think he's, in terms of bringing him on for the last 20 minutes, he's a defender's nightmare. Strong, powerful, can run, can get contact with people. And obviously he's a bit of tricky out wide, and his assist is very, very good. So we decided we're just going to keep him under wraps a little bit. Just, we've got loads of games and not a lot of training. And if you play a lot of games and not train, after he's been out for so long, it's a big red flag. So I've got experience of managing players like this, and we'll do it that way.
How significant is the injury to Idris Elba?
It's just his hip. He had a fitness test. He said he was good at stages. I thought he was carrying it, but he's such a big player for us. I think he's responded well from being rested. I think he looks sharper. But it got to the stage where we didn't want to put any more risk on, and obviously we've got Max Sanders waiting in the wings.
Psychologically, how important was it to get a victory here at Brisbane Road?
No, Dave, I'm very consistent in my way of thinking. I've always said this is progress that we need to make. We are, for the last 170 minutes of football, we have competed really, really, really well against a massive club in Bolton, a massive club in Charlton. That's how far we've come. But early in the season, we've competed really, really well against Oxford, against Portsmouth. And we've just let little things and little situation moments go against us, and it's let us affect us. And instead of having one moment, it's turned into two or three. And that's what happened at Bolton in terms of the first 10 minutes. But our response in terms of competing against big clubs like this has been exceptional. And that's what I always say, work in progress. And it's no good me being really inconsistent in messages and floundering from one thing to the other in terms of my message. I'll stay constant. Today, my identity was there in terms of the way that I want to play. But for some periods of this season, it's been really difficult to play like that because of the personnel and obviously the injury situation.
Games come thick and fast this time of year, of course, and it's Friday night, Wickham Wanderers at home.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It was always a hard kick-off today because, you know, you watch some of the Premier League games and the kick-off at 12:30 and people are getting up. They've had probably a belly full of food yesterday, and sometimes it can be difficult getting going. Luckily for me, I've got a lovely six pack under here, and it doesn't affect me. No, I'm only joking. It's a Friday night. Is it Friday night? Yeah, it's a Friday night game under the lights. It'll be a good atmosphere, another localish derby. So I thought the fans were terrific in the second half. In terms of the territory that we gave them, I thought he was excellent, pushed us towards the 3 points, and I'm looking forward to being here on Friday night under the lights.
Too early to say about Idris being available for that one?
Yeah, again, TJ had to come off as well, so we'll monitor them over. We'll give the players the day off tomorrow, and then we'll be back in Thursday, and obviously it's important that Keats gets to work in terms of his dialogue with the players and make sure they're as fit as possible.
And finally, the faithful enjoyed it at the end.
Yeah, we deserve that. We've probably not. I know we beat Reading here, who are a big club. That's the first big club in terms that don't have issues that we beat this year. We've been lucky in terms of we drew away at Blackpool, should have won, and we drew away at Peterborough, that are really good clubs in this league. And as I say, it's everybody getting used to the level, the supporters, but also the players. And I think in the last 178 minutes of football, the players can take massive confidence. If you go away to Bolton and you're 3-0 down after 9 minutes and you respond like that, it shows that you've got a lot. And we've scored a lot of late goals this year, and we keep going. It says that everyone's together. We've got a great dressing room, and I've always said it, I think we've got a group of players that our supporters can really relate to. They give everything, and like I said, over a long period of time they will improve in terms of understanding, but they've got a lot of endeavour and a lot of energy and really good people, so they're a joy to work with, and like I said, we'll just keep improving.
Congratulations. Thank you, Richie.
Well, that was Richie speaking with Dulcet David Victor, of course. And we will just switch it back a little bit, because before we talk about the positives of yesterday's result, Saturday, I think, as car crashes go, the first 10 minutes was a head-on one, wasn't it, Darren?
The history makers.
The
tweet about Optostats was my favourite. That 9 minutes 35 seconds to be 3-0 down in a game is an Optostat leaderboard
for the
NFL.
So we have the history makers from Saturday to talk about. The less said that about that, the better. Put a bit of a fight up, didn't they, in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, how much of that, though?
Tracking goals, as
right.
you said.
Yeah, but I mean, in all due respect, I mean, the positive is that the team kept going and they had a go in the second half. But, Barry, how much of that really was down to the fact that psychologically Bolton did what teams tend to do sometimes, and that's take their foot off the pedal?
Well, it's probably a bit of both, isn't it? Yeah, okay, you're throwing it up, you think you're going to see the game out comfortably, but when someone scores an early goal in the second half and then follows it up with another one, don't care how good a player you are, psychology does come into it. People rather start panicking and making decisions that they wouldn't make, because it's hard to take being 3-0 up and then all of a sudden having the prospects of not winning the game, you know, even sharing the points. So, yeah, but all fair play to Orient in the second half. They played really well. There was only one team that were going to get a third goal. If we'd played for a little longer, I'm sure we'd have got it.
And I couldn't. They'd already got the third goal.
Our third goal. Yeah, yeah, right, okay. The sixth goal.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, you're right. The sixth goal, and it would have been us. And yeah. I was pleased with the reaction. And there have been, you know, parts of this season where the players have been questioned, the manager has been questioned. You know, all the fans have got their opinions of this, that, and the other. But what I'm pleased about is the whatever people are saying, and people do like to try and find angles, don't they, about the managers this and the fans of that and the players of this. But it's definitely a togetherness in the squad and the team. We've come through some sticky patches this last 2 months, and I think Saturday proved that.
Mm. Well, it's sort of some of the rubbish you hear about not playing for the manager. So if they're not playing for the manager, the way they played in the last hour of that game, I think Richie gilded the lily slightly personally for me on that one. But the second half of Bolton that then got taken into the game on Boxing Day. Yeah, that's not that to me doesn't look like a bunch of lads not playing for the manager.
No, absolutely not.
Christian, I mean, is it a case of you just have to forget that first half and concentrate on the second half performance if you were Richie, and then take that forward to the game against Charlton, obviously?
I think probably Richie holds his hand up a little bit for that team against Bolton, whether they wanted to look at other players, whether a couple of players, obviously Mazzuni's struggling a little bit with his hip and things like that, whether he wanted to change it around, whether he wanted to be a bit more braver. For me, unfortunately, Richie picked the wrong team against Bolton. But then, to be fair, whether he got into them half time, obviously he made a couple of changes. As we've just said, you know, it's great having a big crowd, but they were very anxious second half. We scored two goals quickly, and then to be fair, we had one, maybe two cleared off the line in injury time. Like, we could have nicked a point, really. So, yeah, I just think they built momentum, really, off the back of the second half. And as I say, I think that showed yesterday. I think there were patches where the game probably Charlton were better than us. There were patches where nothing was really happening in the game, kind of cancelled each other out, or a bit of lack of quality from both teams in the attacking third of the pitch. But I thought we played really well in the second half yesterday. I just think we looked a proper side.
Good, good. Let's just hear what Glenn's making of things thus far. Glenn Wilkie, caught up with him just before we went on air. Well, it's great to catch up with Glenn Wilkie, and we're just about reaching the midway point of the season, Glenn, with the final match of the year coming up. And what's your review of things so far this season? How's it come along as far as you're concerned?
It's as to be expected, I think. We've had patches where we've gone on sort of unbeaten runs. We've had patches where we've not won for a while. We're getting the odd result here. We're getting a few draws. Listen, after yesterday's result against Cholton, we're sitting in 13th place. Not many points behind the sort of sixth. Well, I say not many. It's probably about 15, but from the top boys. But it's overall, I think the noise coming out of the club from everyone sort of involved, directors and everything else, was look, we're looking at mid-table, that sort of breaking the league up into three groups really, that, and the middle eight is where we want to be come the end of the season, and that's where we're sitting at the moment in 13th. So yes, we'd all like us to win every single game and play very attractive football, but we're a new club in League One, and we're finding our feet, and there's some very, very good teams in there, and there's some average and poor teams in there, and we're sitting in the middle. So far, I think we've done okay.
Yeah, I think Grant Conway on our WhatsApp group made a very valid point. I don't know if you read it earlier, Glenn, that he said that, you know, 6 years ago we were sitting in the lower half of the National League, and here we are in 13th position as we speak in League One.
Yeah. Go back as many years as you like. It's always, there's always progress or not. But yeah, you look from where the club's come from, even sort of 6-7 years ago, you know, Andy, it's the club are doing well. We're doing all right, but there's a lot of new supporters who've seen a lot of success over the last sort of 3-4 years, and they fully expect to see it again. And it's just not realistic, you know. We're building, we're not throwing money at it like other clubs have done in our league or the league below. We've been sensible about it, and we're just growing. And I think the guys have done okay.
Yeah, I mean, as regards that result yesterday, I mean, that is a real confidence booster, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And off the back of Saturday's game up at Bolton, take away that first 15-minute spell where we were dreadful, absolutely dreadful. You look at how we played after that, you can say Bolton sort of foot off the gas maybe and allowed us to play that way. But well, we done really, really well getting two goals in that second half and sort of putting in the performance they did. It was really pleasing. And then taking that momentum into yesterday, which is, it's a London derby, and Cholton with their budget and their history sort of should be doing a lot better than what they are. But I thought we'd done really well yesterday. Really, really well. First half was a bit dull. Wasn't too much going on. But in that second half, we played really, really well. Created a lot of chances. Not clear cut, but got into some good positions. And we could have scored more. And we fully deserved the 3 points yesterday. I thought it was it was much needed, and it was a bit of a marker as well. I was sat right next to the Charlton supporters, and they were furious, absolutely furious with their players and their team. So it could be worse for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think first off, we were set up to be really hard to beat. I think he set us up not to lose, but I think as they grew in confidence, they realised there wasn't a lot that they were playing against. They could actually win this game, and they did.
Charlton have got some very, very good attacking players, the two wingers, and obviously May up, is it May, the little lad up front, Alfie May, obviously he's top goal scorer in the league. So they had some real attacking threat, but looking at the stats, they conceded a lot of goals. They do concede goals. So I think obviously Richie and the boys have probably looked at that and thought, well, there's goals in there. If we can shoot it up at the back, unlike what we did at Bolton, we've got half a chance. And it was a little bit nervy at times and a bit finding our feet in the first half, and I thought our two fullbacks, I thought Tom James done remarkably well against their left winger, who's an absolute beast of a player. He's one of their key players. He should be probably playing in the Championship, you know. He's that good. I think he's Corey Blackett Taylor, I think his name was. Absolutely superb player. And then on the other side, they had Parnu, who's up against... blimey, sorry, Andy, I've had a couple of sherries. I haven't. Up against Rob Hunt. And
Hunt had a blinder, didn't he?
I suggest to be on the stream, that is the best I've ever seen Rob Hunt play. He was absolutely superb. It's the best game I've seen him have in an Orient shirt. He didn't do anything special, but to sort of nullify the winger and the way he just won everything. He was unfortunate to get a booking. It was a silly booking, and people were scratching their heads as to why. But he was superb. And all the back four were obviously Beckles, Dan Appy, done really, really well. Charlton didn't really offer much in that second half. They was hitting it long, and that sort of... that was music to our ears with a small centre forward for them and our two big centre halves. But I thought the whole back four was solid, had done such a great job. And then it was up to the sort of the midfield forwards to try and carve out that chance and get a goal, and we did that.
Okay, well, just before we let you go, Glenn, it's getting to that point where we're on the lookout for some signings for the new year. Do you think we're going to get some faces in there?
I think we'll get a minimum of two new players in, possibly three. But what quality are they going to be? Where are they going to come from? Because it's always a difficult one in January. Anyone doing well, the host clubs are reluctant to let them go. Are they going to come from divisions below? You're looking for people who are not playing. So if they're not playing, how quickly are they going to get up to speed? How good are they? Or someone who's out of contracts, like from the summer even, you know, in which case we would have probably got them in by now. So it's a real tricky one. I do think we'll get fresh faces in the door, but it'll be interesting to see who goes the other way, you know, who goes.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to seeing you in the new year, Glenn. All the best to you and your family, and thanks for joining us.
No problem, Andy. All the best to you guys at Orient Hour.
Right, it was nice to speak to Glenn and catch up with him, and he's much missed in his studio, isn't he, Barry? He's a good lad, Glenn.
Everybody likes Glenn.
Well, I can think of one person that obviously doesn't, but...
It's not being negative, but,
everyone else does.
He's lovely on a match day. I always go and speak to Glenn. He always have a bit of banter.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's called nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good lad, Glenn. Yeah. I've got a lot of time for him. And he understands the game extremely well. We were just talking about that, actually, with Christian, while we were playing that recording about how well Glenn understands it and can relate that to the viewers and the listeners.
I think you'd always, you know, take an ex-pro's opinion over someone who's never played the game at that level, in my opinion. I mean,
absolutely.
Not everyone knows what it's all about. But you give them a little bit more credibility because they know, they should know, because they've been there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and he makes a lot of sense to me when he's talking anyway, Glenn. And we touched on that at Christian, is that he's getting to that time where players are going to be bought in and some are going to have to be shipped out, I guess, to balance the books somewhere along the lines. Now, there's people on our books who are, shall we say, costing a bit more money than maybe we would like to be paying them. And I can say what I like, can't I? People like Moncur and that, which are probably, you know, double bubble what we would like to be paying somebody else if we were replacing him. Are these the sort of players we've got to ship out?
Yeah, I think there's players there that are probably earning a decent wage that are being touted around right now to... I don't know the ins and outs of Orient, but I would imagine that we've got to get some people out the door to bring some people in, or at least offload some of their wages. So the likes of Drinnen, the likes of Moncur, maybe Thompson. I think we've all discussed it, and for me, I think the main jigsaw is what happens to the back four, because everyone really could go very, very soon. If you look at our back four that played, you know, goalkeepers are loney, Turns is a loney, Yeah. Cooper's a loanee. Beckles has been out of favour. I'm sure there's been some conversations had about Beckles' future before yesterday. You know, we've got players there that Hunt and TJ up to yesterday haven't always been, you know, performing to the best of their ability. So effectively, you could start next season with a whole new back four.
Christian, that back four that started yesterday, with the exception of the keeper, were all permanent signings.
But Beckles is up in the summer.
Yeah,
Haps up in the summer. I think TJ and Hunt are both up in the summer.
Too far ahead. Christian, I think.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. I think we've got to be looking at getting enough in January to get through this season and survive.
Yeah, but those players, I mean, just cutting across, Christian, those players that you're saying that we've got plenty of time, we haven't got plenty of time because come about March time, those players are going to want to know what's going on.
You worry about that in the summer.
I think selfishly, to Darren's point, from an Orient point of view, you've got to decide which ones can do your job to the end of the season.
I agree with that.
The ones more outside of that, that are probably going to be selfish for their being, is someone like Adam Thompson. Adam Thompson's got another year. He hasn't played. He's not on the bench. He's been injured. If I'm Adam Thompson, I'm going to try and force a move now, because realistically, he's not getting another deal at Leyton Orient, and he's got to go and find somewhere, string 15 games together, so he can go and get a year or 2 years somewhere else and put himself in a shop window. So there's going to be a bit of Darren's point. Yeah, exactly. And Darren's right. We've got to be selfish for a couple of others. Can Huntie and TJ get to the end of the season and then make a decision? Someone like Dan Happ. I always get confused whether it's 23 or 24, but let's just to say Dan Happ, right? Someone's looking at Dan Happ now. Do Leyton Orient sell him now? Get some compensation money because he's come through the academy, and every year that he's with us, it puts more money on the fee that we're going to get. Or do we let it run to the end of the season and see where he's at? Because if Dan Happ puts 10, 15 good performances in, from his point of view, selfishly, he's going to get a move to a better club than Leyton Orient. If he don't, then probably what's happened this time round, because he got injured, probably by default, he stayed at Leyton Orient. So there are lots of challenges, but to your original question, yeah, I would be trying to get a few out to get a couple in, because I think I'm not saying we're too good to go down, but I think a three or four more performances that are the same as Saturday, there's less pressure to worry about. Obviously, we want to carry on picking up performances, but I think we've got there'd be a fine line, because there is quite a few up, I think, in the summer, and there'll be quite a few others as well where they've brought probably people in on good money. Piggott, for instance, that I don't think he's lived up to his expectations, and would they want to get him out the door as well? I don't, you know, I mean, I'm playing
people like that. People like him and Monca and that, who are on a pretty good
for Div 2, they'll be on good money.
These people, surely the best chance we've got is to do a 50% with somebody. I mean, I would have thought, because you know, you're looking at someone like Moncur, and we don't know exact wage, but let's be fair, it's going to be up around about the 5,000, 6,000 mark, I should think. And, you know, I mean, there's not many clubs in our level who are going to cough that up. Or one division lower. They might think about it if we're meeting half the wages.
But then, to be fair, let's just say I'm going to chuck it out. Let's say he's on 4 grand a week, right, for instance.
Yep.
Let's say we pay off 2 grand a week. Realistically, unless you get a kid or someone on a free agent, where are you going to spend that? Where are you going to spend that 2 grand?
It's part of a budget, like.
Of course.
Isn't it? So,
cool, 100%.
You get 2 grand for him, and you can say you can get, I don't know, like a grand for Tomo.
Yeah,
and then you get a grand for
someone
else.
You add it all up.
You adds up to maybe a couple of decent signings.
Yep.
Or one decent one and one punt.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to take a punt on someone from the academies of Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham. You're going to take a punt, and they're not going to want those clubs, the wages covered. They want the experience in the legs of the player.
I think it'd be a big, as I say, the more pressing issue is now, getting the points on the board and keep progressing. But I think it's a big summer, because even, you know, we've got 5 or 6 kids probably that are out on loan. The Pegram that's just gone to Avely and others, Zecobiero and people like that. You know, they might only be getting 300-400 quid a week, for instance, right? But then they have to make a decision on them kids whether they're actually, you know, they might have been borderline for Div 2. Let's go out and get the experience. Now we're in Division 1. And that's a different question. So to Darren's point, they might think, actually, we'll get rid of all them six kids. That gives us $2,500. We might then go and get, you know, a kid in the same situation from Spurs that, you know, unfortunately, as I say to my boy all the time, sometimes you fall out of the tree at Orient, you're getting to the floor quicker. You know, you fall out of the tree at Spurs or West Ham or an Arsenal, there's a lot more branches to it on the way down, you know. It's one of them situations, so... Yeah.
So is when you're saying that, you know, you get rid of six academy lads who've gone out on loan, I mean, is that a bad advert then for the academy? I mean,
but it's just the way it works, you know. As I make no secret of it, my, you know, my boys in the academy, there's kids get sold all the time out of Orient's academy that people don't even know. You know, there's kids at 13 and 14 last year that got sold to Arsenal, that got sold to Palace, that got sold to Norwich, you know. That feeds the academy for another year, you know. It's just part and parcel of football. You think the conversation we're having now, we loved that team last year, and it was brilliant for us. But unfortunately, football's one of them industries where it just don't stand still. I mean, look at some of the sackings already. I really, really liked the guy that was in charge at Cambridge. Look at all the stuff that he'd done. Community coach, done this, come all through the levels. They're having a bad run in Division 1 and they fired him. You know, footballs are unfortunately...
Most coaches don't get... If you go on a 15-game...
Yeah.
You know, we did it with Jack.
Exactly.
And going back to the academies, Christian, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm guessing, surmising, that they want at least one a season coming out of the academy.
Yeah. As I said to my boy, the best thing about being... a Leighton Orient youth team player, or actually any academy that's a category three, is the academy's there to serve two purposes. It's either get as many kids through each level and get them in the first team. It saves you money. I think, as we always say, from our business perspective, you're always going to pay someone less that comes in the building rather than you have to go out, use a recruiter.
When you recruit, you're
exactly
15-20% more.
Or you're getting them kids through to sell, that either fund the academy or you're funding, you know, other things.
We've got to look at it. We've got two players. I know Sweeney's not playing regularly at the moment, Andy, but he's been a good academy, you know, product of the academy, and obviously Hat speaks for himself. So from a fan's point of view, that's what we want.
I can't remember the exact figure, but like, my boy has been in the academy 4 years maybe. Every year, as a category three academy, I think every year your boy is in that academy, it's worth $6,000 on top of whatever. So let's just say you're an Arsenal or whatever, and you want to, you know, buy someone out of the academy, you might offer $50,000, and then it's $6,000 extra as well for every year that they've been in. So, like, that's what I'm saying about the Hap situation. It's a balance. And that boy, I think, what did he drop out of Spurs at 14? Mm-hmm. He's been with us the whole time. So someone, you know, if I'm, again, playing devil's advocate, if I'm Dan Hap, I'm thinking now I've got to have a really solid 6 months here and I might get myself a move to the Championship. Worst case scenario, if I don't, there might be another year or 2 years on the table from Leighton Orient. But Leighton Orient are thinking, actually, if someone's looking at him now, we might get $150,000 for a centre-half that we could lose for nothing in the summer anyway.
The problem with Dan Hat, though, is the performance he chucked in yesterday.
Yeah.
He needs to chuck that in
100%.
So many more consistently, week in, week out, like that.
I can't see
really good yesterday.
Where we've named names tonight. People like Trinan, then you say they're going to want to ship them out, but who's going to take them? Because, I mean, he's been hired as an assassin, really, as a striker, and yet he's been firing blanks all season. So he hasn't killed anybody.
There's clubs like Cole Yuga,
you know. So yeah, who's going to take him?
Colchester at the wrong end of the league one.
What, take a goal scorer who doesn't
someone
score?
Like Trinan. I can see someone like Trinan, someone like Kerr. There's several players going there.
Go on, Barry, you want to have a go at me, didn't you?
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm just saying that, you know, like, it's a food chain, isn't it? It's a pecking order.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we've taken strikers on that haven't quite cut it in the league above that have done well for us. I think when Macaulay Bond came to us from Colchester, he wasn't firing at all. And look what Macaulay Bond became at us, and then moved back, further back up the ladder. I know he's back down now. But so it does work like that sometimes. When Aaron came to us, he didn't have a particularly great record. I think it was from Ipswich, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, and he had that season with Big Smith up front. Well, they didn't have run fire, weren't they, the pair of them?
15 goals, I think.
Yeah, that's right, each. And obviously it's gone the other way for him now. But But, you know, Chris should know more about this than me, but people will see his potential and see that maybe they could take a chance on him lower down the pecking order. I don't think he's written off at all.
Okay, that's a fair comment. That's what it's all about. Your
I really don't think we'll have problems, Andy, with the likes of Drinnen if he's fit. Yeah, once he's fit. I don't think we'll have the likes of problems with Thompson. I don't think it's the players going out. It's more going to be the who we can get in. Because January is the hardest window that the people at the clubs always say that, don't they?
Yeah. I think people always, to these two's point, I think people always take a punt on centre forwards, especially lower down the pyramid when they haven't got the money to spend.
Further down the bottom, you are.
100%. I mean, prior example, look at Chris Wood. Is Chris Wood prolific? He scored one goal for Newcastle, and then all of a sudden,
that was a stat, when it won in 20, yeah, match a day last night,
yeah, and he scored three goals in 60 minutes.
In an hour.
I just think, yeah, I think people are always going to take a punt on a centre forward. I think, you know, the likes.
I think those lads have got bad records, either.
No. And like what we just said as well, like Thompson, it's not like we don't like him. I think Adam Thompson, one, he comes across as a lovely bloke. Mm-hmm. Two, he's always done a solid job for us. He's just had a few bad injuries at the wrong time. Yeah. I just think football's ruthless.
And if it doesn't work, you can always sign Frank Newblain.
Oh, thank you for those pearls of wisdom there, Barry. I don't know if you saw that when it came out. Somebody did that on one of the, I think it was one of the forums, and they wrote football songs, and you find yourself in times of trouble, no striker on deadline day, there will be an answer, Frank Newblain. And I thought that was a work of genius, the guy who did that. Absolutely excellent. Let's have this week's Victor's View, shall we?
2023 has been a very special year for our club. The manner by which we return to football's third tier, exceptional as Richie has said, provided memories that'll last a lifetime. Such success has transformed expectations in E10, where there was a risk that recent performances and results could overshadow the end of a magnificent year, which is why Boxing Day's victory felt so sweet and was so significant. It was, of course, the O's first league win at home since early October, and it was against a club with a big budget and high expectations. All in ending the Addicts' 7-match unbeaten run in the league. This group of players have character. The leadership of the likes of Omar Beckles, Idris Elmazouni and Darren Prattley, such a significant factor at Bolton, where the O's nearly produced one of the greatest fightbacks in the club's history. Having been so poor in the opening 11 minutes, such resolve should not be taken for granted and is a real asset that could be so important in 2024. Against Charlton, Leighton Orient were successful in dealing with Blackett Taylor and Alfie May, two of the best strikers in the division. After the restart, attacking the Tommy Johnson stand, the O's presented a constant threat. Dan Ajayi's introduction, just too much for a tired Charlton defence. Omar, outstanding in both penalty areas. He deserved his goal as well as the Man of the Match award. And we're home again on Friday night with the visit of Wigan Wanderers, who are without a win in 10, losing 6. Matt Bloomfield's side have been hit by injuries and now 4 points and 4 places below Leighton Orient. Brisbane Road under the lights can be a special place. Let's hope we can see a wonderful year finish in style.
Thanks very much, Dave Victor, for another Victor's View, and we look forward to some more of those in 2024.
I had a lovely Dave Victor moment yesterday, because he's down the other end of the gallery to me generally, so we're quite a distance apart. And, if you listen to him over many years, like we all have, and I think it was for Alfie May when he had his one of very few shots yesterday from the free kick, and he bent it wide, quite wide, wasn't it, about 2 yards?
Put it quite wide.
And from down in the gantry, I heard, "He shoots!" like that, you know, your famous Dave kind of cry. Yeah, it was great. It was a great moment for me. I thought, there's Dave, I can hear him.
Yeah.
Over all the other commentators.
Yeah, you see, when
more
Dave,
power to you, Mr.
when
Victor.
Dave was only doing the radio, you didn't know how close it was, but now you do. Or wasn't that close.
Well, he's building the drama.
But that's his job. That's
absolutely. No, we all love Dave. Idea,
yeah, really. I mean, I used
wherever
to say that.
Sitting, you got a different view of that.
His best one, he said, I remember one game he was doing, and he said, a wonderful pass that finds Mooney. Well, it would have been a great pass, but Mooney is actually on the bench.
Submitting your mistake immediately.
No, but I mean, the ball actually went to Mooney.
Oh,
I
see.
On the bench at the time.
He used a bit of wits there, right?
Yeah, it was a bit
and
of...
And he used the voice of Leighton Orient, definitely.
I always thought the best one was when Glenn Hoddle found God, and someone said, what a great pass that must have been.
Oh,
that's over some distance.
Some distance, yeah. But anyway, we've been talking about players going out players coming in. Now, that's a conundrum for the manager and his team. But, Christian, I mean, if we're limited to two or three signings, where have they got to be?
It goes back to who we're going to lose, I suppose. If Cooper and Turns go back, it'd be probably a centre-half, probably on loan. I'd still like a really, really young sort of... Yeah, what's that?
Don't beat Barry, this is a family show.
Well, he's put me right off now. A younger Darren Pratley, so to speak.
Right, okay.
And a centre forward. I still think, as I say, I made a note earlier, I've completely gone now. And you
Barry has been very naughty, very schoolboyish.
I still think earlier, we are never that far away from being a good team, but I do think we are missing a traditional number nine. I'm not going to change from that.
Right, don't go to a six to go with that. Not that. Right, Barry.
What? So I've just been in there making a cup of tea. What's been happening?
Yeah, you've been putting the Christian off.
Well, we do try, don't we?
Yeah. Now behave yourself. Come on. What's the players that you think?
It's got to be like Christian says. It's got to be the number nine, hasn't it? Because there've been so many occasions this year. You think if we just had that missing piece of the jigsaw, we'd be actually a really good outfit. My son Dan pointed out to me yesterday, if we won the game that we lost and won and lost again, we'd actually be ninth, I think, or tenth at the moment.
Yeah,
you know, the game that we won and then lost.
You've got to deal with what is and what not.
Oh, I know, but we were unlucky to have to replay that, right? 84 minutes winding up, yeah. Right? We're all saying look at stats any way you want, but I don't think there's as much. But what I'm saying, I'll get back to my original point, that we, for the lack of a number nine, I think that's, you know, we're 13th or wherever we are, I think we could have been a top 10 team, let's say. Let's not get carried away.
I mean, we're sitting there, 13th as we speak. So as Friday's match looms, the importance of it is dawning on all of us, because another win, and that's a pretty good run. I mean, one defeat in four, would that be? And three wins if we win?
Yeah, you're right, it would be. I mean, even the stat when we had no 1-10, you know, we also had another interesting stat, and I saw it, but we had, I think it was the fifth long run of not losing away. So up until Bolton, we'd got something out of the previous five games.
Yeah.
So you can look at stats in so many ways, can't you? You can look at it 1-10, or you can look at it no defeats in five.
Yeah.
So I think for me, going back to what we need, yes, you know, to agree completely with the chaps, yes, we need a number nine. We've lacked goals. I also think that if we can shift out players like Moncur, we need a creative mid.
Yeah, I mean, so we're looking at players like Piggott and Moncur maybe being shipped out. Is that a fair comment? If they can ship them out?
Yeah, I would say so. But I think we've all just said, I think we're not that far away. The nine is an issue, but if you look at that second half performance yesterday, I just think there's, you know, I think someone put the list up of the budgets. There's been a few teams, yeah, we're 16th budget wise. But if you looked at most of the teams we've played, no one's really set the world alight. And we've had injuries. We haven't, you know, we're all saying we ain't got a number nine. Like, I personally don't think we're that far away. If we defend how we did yesterday, which I think was a bit more no nonsense, we got it forward quicker. I think Ford is much better coming in off wide. Really impressed with Galbraith, really grew into the game, as me and Darren were just speaking about. I think it'd be good to get Max Sanders into the team. Like, we've got, you know, we've got good players.
Injuries have improved, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Galbraith, we were all watching him first time round. We all thought this lad's got something, didn't we? All of us.
Him and Sanders.
The thing is, with Galbraith, I mean, I've been on the show and he's saying, get him in the team. And we get him in the team, and in the first half against Bolton, he had a stinker.
Yeah.
He had a real stinker. Everyone had a stinker.
Oh, there you go.
Yesterday, in the first half, I don't think he actually played that well in the first half yesterday. Second half, I thought we saw the player that...
It could be.
We've had glimpses of.
Yeah, but
he is young, so he is going to have games where he's in and out a little bit. To take the manager's point about Hap. Hap's at that age now where he has to be consistent.
Mm.
Yep.
And you've got Dan Agia coming in, and look at that yesterday. I mean, he made the difference.
Yeah, he's a great player, Dan Agia. He's probably technically the best player we've got. And, you know, hopefully we can get him that. And I know they are handling him with kid gloves. They're giving him half hour until they filled it because he had so long out. And that's probably the right thing to do. When he gets a consistent run in the team, I think you're going to see the best of him. And he will be a player that other clubs will covet because he's a very good player.
There was one passage of play yesterday, which and I were talking about.
Yeah, we all saw it, didn't we?
He technically was better than the three players around him. Mm. And he was physically stronger than the three players around him. So he managed to get away with
it. He passed it to himself and wriggled past them and made them look... statues.
And the fact that the manager's managing the way he is with the minutes he's given him when he's given him, he was really yesterday what we really, really were hoping to see.
I know we haven't really sort of asked particularly about yesterday's game, have we? We haven't discussed it from a start, but I think, you know, if you look at the likes of Charlton, and I'm waiting to bash him, etc., but I think they have got his Corey Blackett, Taylor's a good player, who in the first half was caused us a few problems. Alfie, mate, didn't really have a sniff, which he might have had an off day. Well, he did, but we handled him really well. So there's two things.
Yeah. Not given out that sniff, and you've had a top scorer in the division, but he is.
So that's a good thing as well. And I think from their point of view, they lacked a bit of fight and bite. I really do. I think, you know, second biggest budget in the league. And I think they'd be really disappointed if I was a Charlton fan because we outfought them and outworked them in the second half.
Well, we played them twice now, and obviously
edged the first one. We edged the second. Yeah,
exactly. So there's not much between the two sides,
except
really.
14 places in the budget table.
Well, 14 places in the budget table, but it means are they underperforming or are we overperforming?
I think yesterday was a bit of both. That's what my point was. Yeah. I think in the second half they really didn't match us in the second half for fight and spirit, and I think their fans told them that as well. And I think the manager made quite a few excuses as well, which doesn't never go down well.
We've had a couple of those ourselves.
Yeah, it's a big match yesterday, Dale, for Richie, because there was, for the first time this season, over the last couple of weeks, there's been some pressure applied towards Richie Wellens. And nearly said Richie Wellens, he was a singer, wasn't he? Richie Wellens. And you know, for questions beginning to be asked.
No,
and answered.
And answered, as you say, because things have turned around very quickly. And I think Richie must have known that, you know.
Well, he threw his hat in the ring for a Bolton job that only unavailable, didn't he?
So did I.
Yeah. I mean, so.
You've got more chance.
It's important for Richie, obviously, for his own credibility, to come out of this season with a good positive and a top half finish if he can.
Let's say he takes us down. That ruins his CV.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not going to be what he wants from his CV.
I think top half is a realistic aim.
If he takes us to the middle of the table, which is where we currently are, then he's done a great job, hasn't he?
I think we've said before, I certainly have, that our aim is middle eight, okay? That's from 8th and 16th. Yeah. If we finish 8th to 12th, we've overachieved, if you like. 12th to 16th, we've slightly underachieved, but that's the ballpark of where we are.
8th to 12th is
what I've said 13 from the start of the season, and I'll stick with that.
Well, good. Let's have a little rant from Matt Roper, shall we?
Yesterday provided a much-needed win, and with 6 points from our last nine, it is the mini respite we really needed. We are now at a halfway stage. We have 28 points, so as easy stats go, if we were to replicate that in the second half of the season, we'd finish with 56 points, and the dreaded R word, whilst a bit close for comfort, wouldn't actually come into play. Yesterday's win was no more than we deserved. Okay, the game won't feature on a highlights reel of legendary matches, but we showed fight, determination, and then coupled with taking our chance when it came, plus some excellent defending from the back five, saw us squeak a 1-0 win against our local rivals from just over the Thames. Charlton are a strange side in this league. If they show up and have six or seven playing well, then you're in for a bit of a torrid afternoon. But yesterday showed again why we can live and beat the middle eight sides when either the opposition don't perform well enough, or perhaps more importantly, we show more grit and intensity than our opposition. The form of pre-course Cheltenham was shocking, and the last gasp win at Wadham Road, the amazing fight back at Bolton, and the slender victory over the Addicts hasn't solved the problems we face, but it has given everyone the breathing space we need for a reset in the new year. With two winnable games coming up and a January transfer window to do a bit of wheeling and dealing in, most O's fans can look forward to try and settle things down for the second half of the season and getting ready for that further push forward in 24-25. And that has to be the message here yet again. I have said numerous times on this show that we have to respect the three-year plan the board set when we re-entered the third tier. A mid-table finish counts as progression, and I still think there is enough in, say, a 14th finish place to get excited about, as we can look forward to build around those players such as Galbraith for the future. Let's face it, it's been a memorable year. Think back to January. It was a horrible month when it looked like the wheels might come off our promotion push. Injuries and a loss of form meant we headed towards February very worried that we might even lose a top three spot and have to contend with the dreaded playoffs. But we kept our nerve, saw off all comers, delivered our first league title in over 50 years. And although the summer didn't go quite to plan, and with some bad luck with injuries and maybe not getting our summer recruitment quite right, it's all about learning curves for everyone. Lingy had a bigger budget to work with, but was now in a division with some real big hitters. Wellens and Co. now had a new tier to contend with, packed full of either established and or tricky sides to play against. And the board had to continue to focus of how we develop the club off the pitch. On that, I'm due to complete my second part of an interview with director Marshall Taylor in the next 10 days or so. And there will be a full and frank interview featuring in the January and February issue of Pandemonium Fanzine, but also extensive coverage of the stats and figures on this very show. And there are some eye-watering numbers, let me tell you. We are starting to find our feet in League One, and every week brings a different challenge. But with a bit more guile and belief about us, I believe we are more than capable for pushing for a 10th or 12th place finish, which for my money, as I said last week, represents excellent progression. For now, it's all about the next game in front of us, and we need to take the game to Wickham from the off. In the last few games, we have come under lots of early pressure, but buoyed by the win over Charlton, we can look forward to hopefully a reverse of the result at Adams Park, setting us up what will be a great new year and a game away at Cambridge, where if we can remain unbeaten in those final two, it'll be an excellent way to end the old year and start the new one. Let me take this opportunity to wish every one of you the best for 2024. Everyone that's helped with the fanzine, be it readers, writers, subscribers, and let's get that feel-good factor and momentum back down in E10. Get Brisbane Road rocking and really kick on from there. Have a good one, stay safe, and up the mighty O's.
Thanks very much, Matt Roper, for your rants this season so far this year. And he's always good value, isn't he, Matt? He's not a bad lad, is he?
Matt, he's all right. I've known Matt for 40 years. He's okay. He's a good old.
He is. Pop him the drum.
The drum's backing it really, young
lot. Yeah. Oh, is it?
And
can the fella play it better than Matt?
Well, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. No disrespect, Matt, but yeah.
Yeah, timing wasn't his greatest.
They were up at Bolton
tribute, was it?
Saturday, early those lads, right? And they never stopped singing. We were 3-0 down, as we all bloody know, yeah. They got dug out a little bit by the manager, which I didn't agree with. But you know, the chant up at Bolton was "National League champions, you'll never sing that." And you know, they had their shirts off. These lads. Oh, I think it's brilliant. Honestly, I really
you hear it from the street.
Do you know what? When the result was, when the goals were going in at Bolton, it just reminded me years ago we played at Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup back in the 80s. It's about probably, I'm guessing,
we lost 5-1.
And nil. We were lucky to get the nil. It was I think it's about 86, I think. Something like 86, I think it was. And
it was 89, I think.
No, it was a bit before that. I think it was well before that because Andy Sussex was playing.
Scored against us.
About that.
That was the 4-1 Cup one.
Yeah, no, this was 5-0 and Andy Sussex was playing.
Both.
And it was icy pitch, Bauer. It was an icy pitch, and I'll be honest, while the match was played, God alone knows it, frozen pitch, but we kicked off, and all these red balloons went up in the air, and they were still in the air when the first goal went in. They hadn't come down yet, and they weren't filled with anything. It was just normal air
inside them. Not
lead. No, honestly. And I think it was 3-0 after about 12, 15 minutes, and everyone was like, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. And then Andy Sussex...
Can we talk about something more cheery, please?
Andy Sussex sliced his leg open, and they took him into took him into the physio's room. This is great. This was. They stitched up his leg, and as he got to the last stitch, the physio looked at the needle and realised the end of the needle was missing. So they had to take him to hospital, open him up again, and find the end of the needle, which was inside his leg. We lost 5-0 anyway.
Happy old days, eh? Yeah. They were great, weren't they?
Happy days. Frank Clark was not very happy with the physio. I can tell you that. But that was, you know, I had visions of that happening again when Bolton went into such an early lead.
We all did.
Anyway,
at half time, this is going to go 5 or 6. If we're not careful.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've been next to Steve Jenkins when we were commentating. I think we went 4-0 up, and Steve's comment was the next 5 goals could be crucial. that's the way it goes. Listen, let's digress there for a moment, but let's go back to this week coming up. Wickham Wanderers, Christian. They're not on a good run. Surely, Orient can grab the points.
Not on a good run at all. I think massive opportunity in the next couple of games. We've got Wickham Friday, Cambridge New Year's Day. What we were saying earlier about where we finish in the league, I think it's so tight, that middle section. Once you get into that sort of middle half of the table, who knows, a couple of wins here or there. It's the same with, you know, before the replay. I think when we first originally beat Lincoln, we were 3 points off the playoffs, and then by the time the replay come around, we were 3 points off the relegation. So it's so tight. String a couple of performances together, who knows? But, yeah.
So, Barry?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at these four fixtures that, Bolton, Charlton, Wickham, Cambridge, most of those fans would have gone, we want 6 points from those four games. We've got three.
True.
Yeah, but we've got three so far out of six. So if we can get at least another three, maybe four, I think that will see us right sitting in the mid-table. I mean, on paper, and football isn't played on paper and all that, but yeah, we've got a good chance of beating both of these sides. But if we can not lose both games, maybe get 4 points, I'll be happy with that.
I mean, if we average about a point a game from now to the end of the season, I think we're pretty safe, aren't we?
It looks if we double our tally that we've done. I think we haven't had a great half a season, right? But if we'd be on 56 points, which is more than enough to keep you safe.
Yeah. Darren, I'm saying Darren.
I've been called worse.
You've been called a lot worse. I know you have, yeah.
By you.
No, you're a good lad. You're going, I won't have a bad word said about you. Well, not having a good one either, but I don't have bad ones. Anyway, Wickham.
I think I agree with the guys on that. I think we've got to be looking at it. I don't think two back-to-back draws will be a complete disaster. I agree with you on that. But I also agree with Christian's point. We should be beating Wickham. They're on a bad run. We've got to take advantage of that now. So I would hope for four. I would settle for two because that is the Orient way. We go and beat Charlton. we follow that up by not beating Wickham. So it wouldn't surprise us. We've all supported Orient a long time. It's part of the reason we love it. You never know. Cambridge is a difficult one because they've sort of putting a sort of funny set of results together, aren't they? They'll win one. Yeah. You expect them to.
Well, their cook is a big Orient fan, so Peter White. Yeah, so let's hope Peter puts something in their dinner at Cambridge. Slows them up a little bit.
Well, I'm sure Peter
does some fight
for that.
Right. So come on then, prediction time.
Wickham Wanderers. 2-1 Orient against Wickham.
Yep.
1-1 Cambridge.
Oh, okay. Barry?
I'm not there on Friday against Wickham, so we're going to win that one.
Yep.
100%, because obviously the box thing. Yeah, sorry about that, folks. We've got a sub on Friday. People going, we're not sorry. But yeah, I'd say we'll be going to beat Wickham. And I think we'll beat Cambridge as well. I think I'm going to be quite positive and go for two victories here. 2-0 Cambridge, 2-1 Wickham.
Okay. And Christian?
2-2 Friday.
Oh.
And 1-0 against Cambridge.
Right.
They both of them teams lost yesterday, so.
Thanks for coming in, guys. I'll go for 2-0 against Wickham and a 1-1 with Cambridge. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next year. Have a great New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We're not sitting, we're not at town. We're the only one of us around. And nowhere we can be found. But sadly, come again. We'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're laying on you from a 10. We're laying on you from a 10. This is our club, we are proud. So sing it up.
sing aloud. We were formed in 1881, the Clapton Orient had so begun. The old story on it runs, we're late and Orient from E10. Whatever challenges come our way, the Orient faithful are here to stay. We can live to fight another day, we're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10, yeah!
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.